Mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You want to say that with me? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And then I want you to watch the repetition. We did this on a festival one night, and it stayed with me, and I decided we're going to do it today. Oh, that men would praise the Lord, verse 8, for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 15, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 21, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 31, you ready to read it with me now? Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. When God repeats himself, pay attention. Four different times. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. But rather than preaching today, I want to exhort us in our circumstance to remember that it's the same God that we serve. This psalm ends saying, verse 43, read it with me. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Even they, who? Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. You may say, well, all that praise and goodness and wonderful works, they must not be in kinds of circumstances like we're facing. Well, you listen. The third verse begins to describe the prelude to the eighth verse, which is the first of those four proclamations. Gathered them out of the land, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. That's the wanderer. And I need the poetic language of this Old Testament passage to sort of apply itself in a hurry to the wanderer. We had somebody wander in back in Hartford. And again, I didn't know what to do except look to the floor as he expressed his love and appreciation for me. But then I began to rejoice as the tears ran down his cheek as he told about a wanderer, someone that came. They called on the phone. He led them to the Lord, and they came wandering in. I remember a little, very insignificant looking little lady. She came up close in the midst of the battle through the screening that goes on. She gave me a half a bologna sandwich. She said, it was wrapped up, she says, I'm a nobody that's come to stand up for somebody. Wanderers, they called and said, were concerned, one lady, because I was about to take drugs and commit suicide the other night. When Living Faith came over the television, and she gave her heart to the Lord. Wanderers, what's the cure? I don't want to beat that to death. I think anybody that's lost and wandering around knows it, so no sense spending much time. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then, B. Raymond Edmond has written a book called The Then and Theirs of the Gospel. They're always turning points. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and what? He delivered them out of their distresses, and he led them forth by the right way that they might go to a city of habitation. We're citizens of a heavenly land. We hang loose down here in the things of this world because we got a city not made with hands. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. The wanderer, all he had to do was cry and deliverance came. Now the scene changes. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. Here's the prisoner. I know the first application of these verses, they were carried away in captivity. But God's word speaks to every generation. And I don't think I have to describe bondage to people that are in it. In this case, they were to blame for their problems because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down. There was none to help. You a prisoner today? Bound in circumstances, bound in any kind of prison. Again, I ask, because of time, that the poetry of Old Testament words by the Holy Spirit broaden to your circumstance. Did any of you come here today feeling all bound with your circumstance and your problems? And maybe blaming yourself for your condition. What's the cure? Same thing. You want to read it with me? Verse 13. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and brake their bands in sunder. I saw people this last week that were willing to go to prison. I remember G. Campbell Morgan speaking on the song at midnight of Paul and Silas in that Philippian jail. And his words have stayed with me. He said, men that can sing at midnight in a prison cell can never be imprisoned because they're in Christ and he's seated at the right hand of God the Father. God's people have learned that he will respond when they cry. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. We say, that's not my problem. Hey, listen to this one. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. That's sickness. Now again, there's room here for you being sick and being able to find things that you've done wrong. You can't eat anything. If you want Gene Scott's demystification of verse 18, if you eat anything, it makes you sicker than you are. You're near the gates of death. What's the cure? Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he, what? Out of their distresses, he saveth them. He sent his word and healed them. You know what Fenton's translation says? He sent his word and it healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Say it with me. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Well, this next one may get all of us. They that go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths, their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. You know, this is saying two things. There are storms in this life, and they're scary. But you know how that started? He commandeth and raises the stormy wind. Again and again this past week, I've said, God, I've been preaching it for weeks and months. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. We are not here by choosing. We're not facing these problems by chance. We're in God's hands. And I remember standing 19 feet underground in a cold prison cell occupied by Paul, in which I stood and wrote the rough draft for a book called A Hole in Rome. And I asked the question, how could a man in a circumstance like that, where every friend he had thought he shouldn't be there, where every expectation that he had been driven by was defied by his circumstance, where every wish in his own natural desires, even to serve God, had been defeated, where every Christian had forsaken him, how could he know he was in God's will? He didn't, in terms of the circumstance. And the answer came, and it's in his last letter written there. I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. It's who you know, not what you're doing. He controls the storms. And I wrote it down. I said, Paul knew if he was in a mess, it was God's mess. And God was able. Then, read it. They reel to and fro, stagger like a drunken man, they're at their wit's end. What next? Then, they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. What's the clue? Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. Folks, this is our promise. Maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them in to their desired haven. The Lord is our pilot. And let the winds blow and the waves mount. When we cry unto the Lord, he bringeth them into their desired haven. Read it with me, verse 31. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. Glory be to God. All right, what's the next line say after talking about the conditions? Read it with me. Let them exalt him also where? And praise him in the assembly of the elders. Where?